Good morning. Welcome to St. Matthew's. I'm so glad you're here. The weather is just fantastic. It allowed me to finally take down our Christmas decorations. Away at the cottage last week led me to think about Noah's Ark. And one thing I wish that never got onto the ark was black flies. Yeah, it's a nice day like today, and you want to sit outside your sauna, and suddenly you got to retreat inside. So I'll be glad when they're gone. Next wave is the mosquitoes, another thing that should have stayed off the ark, but I guess there's a reason for them being there. Within our prayers today, we are remembering the Reverend Eric Weber, who passed away. And we pray that God comfort family and friends who now mourn his passing as he now has joined the heavenly hosts that we are surrounded with. Personally, I find it uplifting, my faith, when hearing the second reading. It speaks to me of things to come in God's time, not our time. And trust me, we could use the leaves of the tree of life for the healing of the nations. That could be used right now. How many times have you heard someone ask a question when you know what the obvious answer is? It comes on TV, I hear so often, and I really enjoy watching. It's the movie Ghostbusters. There's all kinds of neat lines in it. But there's part of that ending of the movie when the Ghostbusters are going to the top of the apartment building. They're working their way up all these steps. And they've just got one more set of stairs to climb. And Ray, one of the Ghostbusters, asks, "Which way do those stairs go?" To which they say, "Up." Who is buried in Grant's tomb? That was a trick question I used to ask my grandchildren. When we drive by a cemetery, I always ask my grandchildren, I said, "Well, how many people are dead in that cemetery?" And they're guessing, "Well, 100 and some." I said, "No, they're all dead." These past few weeks, much of the cottage country has been experiencing major flooding. And I was somewhat amused by a reporter who was asking a cottage owner, after seeing his cottage destroyed by flooding, how was he feeling? How do you think that reporter would react if the cottage owner said, "Well, you know, I'm quite happy that the cottage is gone. It was becoming a pain in the butt with all the ongoing maintenance and paying taxes and utility bills. You know, I was just so glad to see Mother Nature take it away." Keeping all of this in mind, in our hearing of the gospel, a man has been ill for 38 years. And all this time he has been hoping to be the first to jump in the pool and possibly be cured of his infirmity. Jesus comes along and he asks the question, "Do you want to be made well?" What if the sick man said, "No, thank you. I like lying around this pool. It gives me something to do. Besides, if I get better and made well, I might have to get a job or do something different in my life. So, no, thank you. I'd rather just lie here." The answer to Jesus' question is obvious, and the man is made well. He gets up and gets on with his life. This whole episode was done on the Sabbath. Jesus did something wrong and violated the law regarding the Jewish Sabbath. No work was to be done on the Sabbath. Healing someone on the Sabbath was considered work. The religious authorities, in their pursuit to uphold their religious laws, they had become slaves to the law. Jesus purposely did the healing on the Sabbath to show that the law is to serve humanity and not humanity to serve the law. For us Christians, our Sabbath begins at sundown on Saturday and ends at sundown on Sunday. Sunday is the beginning of a new week. But for many people, Sunday is the end of the week. We Christians begin our week by coming to worship and giving thanks to God, the Creator, who has given us a new week to follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christians do not see Sunday as a day of rest where we end the week by relaxing, getting ready to face the work week, which starts on Monday. And this is what the working world wants us to see. Look at the calendar and see what begins the week. Sunday is a reference to what occurred on Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the rising from the dead, the beginning of something new. The Sabbath marks the beginning of something new and better. The healing of the man who was made well on the Sabbath was the beginning of something new and life-changing. Being a parent, we know how important it is to have your child eat a healthy breakfast before heading out to school. Even for us adults, we are to eat like a king for breakfast, eat like a prince or princess at lunch, and eat like a pauper at night. The body needs to be nourished so that it can learn and face the new day. We Christians, we begin our week to have our body and souls nourished by our gathering around the Lord's table. I sometimes think that instead of ending our worship service by being blessed by God, we should be told by God to get out of here. Get out of here and be the people whom God has called us to be. You have been fed and nourished by God, so get out of here and be God's people. I like the story of the reporter. He was interviewing an elderly man who had just turned 100 years old. And the reporter asks the 100-year-old man, "How did you find yourself today, sir?" And the 100-year-old man said, "I woke up, pulled back the covers, and there I was, just happy to be alive." People always come to me and they ask me, "Well, how are you today, Pastor?" I just tell them, "I'm just happy to be on the right side of the ground." God has given us the Sabbath to begin the week, looking at new possibilities to be the children of God, following the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Waking up each morning is a day to give thanks and enjoy what God has created. Yes, I'm getting older and slower to start the day. But at the end of the day, I make the sign of the cross and I give thanks to God for seeing me through the day, and hopefully I can wake up to another new, brand new day that God has created. And I give thanks. I give thanks. Amen.